Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost them, just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a climber with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky,
other names. Trade addicts pot, let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Jagger May, and I have a trading problem.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Session 361 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, where even though the network went away, the DAP is always here to stay. So drop a DAP if you're with us. We appreciate all of you. And today we are honored to have, honestly, one of my favorite content creators out there right now. We have Jagger May with us. Jagger, why don't you drop who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Yeah, Jagger May. I'm the lead content lead over at Fast Draft and lead analyst over at Roto Underworld. I'm not very good at saying that now because this is all new. So everything just started over there. I'm a best ball bro now, guys. I still do Dynasty and stuff like that, and a lot of rookie content right now.
Awesome.
I've never gotten into the best ball thing. You,
me neither.
Being a best
sounds
ball
like
bro.
A hellscape where you have like 40 people and you don't have to set lineups, and that just sounds crazy to me.
What's cool about being a best ball bro is like I don't care about any of that. Like I care about it, like I have fun, but like I am not. I don't do any of their stuff like them. So like, let's see how. Ask me again in a month how it's gonna work for me.
So honestly, we're in kind of the quiet period of fantasy right now. The NFL draft is in, I think, 23 days from today. So it's kind of quiet, but we're still going to pick Jagger's brain a little bit on some of the rookies. We'll get to that in a little bit, but we're going to start with my question of the week. And I posted this as the listener question this week. Jagger, who's the player that you like where you feel like you're on an island versus consensus right now?
There's Trevor Lawrence and Ladd McConkey are the two of them. Because I've taken a lot of heat by, like, if you guys ever want traction on Twitter, post your trades on there. Don't look. but people will say something. I've traded the 101 for Ladd McConkey. Got a lot of heat for it. I've traded the 102 for Trevor Lawrence, and I keep getting the same thing. Everyone says I could get more. And I was like, you don't think I tried to get more, but I really want this player. I have conviction. I believe in a wide receiver like Ladd McConkey, who's very productive and that productive as a rookie and is attached to a good quarterback. And I understand that more target competition in most cases makes people more efficient. So I feel like that is a crazy take that everyone hates me for.
Rocky, what do you think of Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, I have never been the biggest Trevor Lawrence fan. That's no secret here. So, I don't have any faith he's ever going to be more than a middling quarterback at this point. So, I think he's had enough time. They're now cycling into their third coach, who I'm not super excited about.
Urban doesn't count. This is their second coach.
Yeah, I was just like, get out of here. Like, you can't just say, like, this is the third coach. Urban Meyer was like a weird
I'm
week.
Not blaming Trevor Lawrence for there being three coaches. I'm just saying he's now going into another system and all this stuff. So
Justin Fields or Baker's on like his seventh. What's his excuse?
That's what I'm saying.
I'll take Baker over Trevor Lawrence any day. So
at cost, I would too, but, yeah.
Here's my argument, because we have time. You've told me.
Yeah. We definitely have time.
Is that Trevor Lawrence is vastly a better product, a better prospect than Baker Mayfield is. He just mm-hmm. needed time, patience, and situation. Mm-hmm. Now Trevor Lawrence, who is the better prospect, has all those things. And as we've seen with Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, a lot of these guys, if they've got the goods, just give them a little bit of time and a coach who knows something, and they can do something. So that's why I'm willing to make that gamble. Another thing why I would trade the 102, everyone, every scout out there, with the exception of maybe Cam Ward, but even with Cam Ward, has told you that this is a weak quarterback class. So you're kind of hoping that all of these guys are Trevor Lawrence. Because mm-hmm. like Trevor Lawrence was giving you like for a little bit 20 points per game, and then he died behind that Doug Peterson offense and weak offensive line. And then McCorkle Jones went out and tore it up. So, like, I just believe, you know, like, I've had the Ted, I need to get the Ted Lasso sign back here. That's
in Jaguars colors. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, the Sam Darnold and the Geno Smith got actual weapons. What does Trevor Lawrence have at this point?
Brian Thomas Jr.
And that's
it. I was going to say, what?
Brenton Strange is something.
It's one.
I do think
they're drafting someone too.
Yeah, I think they're going to draft someone. To be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, you know, it'd be dope, Matthew Golden or something.
Yeah,
like, they should get offensive line help. They need to get offensive line help. But
they can do both.
I am not worried.
Trade back up in the first. 100%.
Yeah.
Do both.
Yeah, and I think they traded Ingram because they're like, hey, this Brenton Strange kid, pretty athletic. I think there's a reason we spent a day two pick on him. So. Mm-hmm. You know.
I don't believe it when I see it with Trevor Lawrence, and I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I would love a draft where it's like, doesn't have to be Golden or whatever, but like it's like Will Campbell and at five, and then or whoever the best offensive lineman is at this point, and you know they trade up to Minnesota's pick and take Golden or something like that. That would be an awesome first round for Jacksonville. I'd be very excited.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Titans Cam Ward or Lawrence Jagger?
Lawrence. I don't believe in Brian Callahan. I don't believe in the Titans. Like, if Cam Ward was going to the Giants,
mm-hmm.
if the let's say the Giants pull it off, they do it. They go up and get Cam Ward. Yeah. I'd be like, ooh, doggy. That might. To me, the argument for Cam Ward being the 101 in mm-hmm. rookie drafts is up there. But like right now, as the Titans, that's a no for me, dog. So,
Rocky, Titans, Cam Ward, Trevor Lawrence. This is gonna be a tough one for you because you don't like either one of these.
Yeah, I would even take Trevor Lawrence over Titans Cam Ward.
Okay,
I'm not. Yeah, I've already on record. I'm not super high on Ward. I think he's fine. I think he'll probably start for a while, but he doesn't even have the ceiling that Trevor Lawrence has, and I don't even believe Trevor Lawrence has the ceiling that Jagger thinks he has. So,
That's a plot twist. That's a plot twist.
I just think Cam Ward is going to be like an average starting quarterback for a while until he's just not for whatever reason.
I agree. So, there was a third option I didn't know Rocky had. He's like, I think they both suck.
That's usually Rocky's answer when he doesn't like all of them. He's like, I'm not picking one. They both stink.
Yeah.
He like doesn't pick a Colts receiver.
My answer will be, who cares? Yeah.
Yeah. I ask him to pick his favorite Colts receiver. He's like, none of them.
Yes.
So, and Tony Perez, one of my new partners in crime, says Ward. And, you know, I could see it.
Mm-hmm. And when you say Titans Cam Ward, I'm with Jagger too, by the way. That makes me like him even less with the Titans.
Yeah.
It's we've seen that nature versus nurture is almost always nurture with quarterbacks.
Yep. Yes.
Like unless you are Jesus walking on water, I am drafting the team.
Yeah,
I'm drafting the team. I've really told everyone, I'm like, I don't even draft players anymore. Who's your coach? I'll care about you then.
Yeah, there's certain organizations that just can't develop quarterbacks, can't develop players that are just messes of an organization, and I don't want anything to do with them. And there's certain organizations that are just, like, I think a big reason that Brock Purdy is a thing is because he's in San Francisco. Like, Everything was set up right there for him, and he's got the coaching, he's got a good organization, he's got good personnel. So somebody who goes to the Jets or the Titans or various other places, Las Vegas, it's just they're set up for failure.
That's like I want to delete all my Shedeur Sanders tweets, not because I think he sucks, because I think he might be a Brown.
Yeah, we'll get to the Browns and Brock Purdy and all that stuff and what news I made up today, because as Rocky sometimes says, I used to make up the news, and this is definitely one of those just weeks.
We had something, so, yeah.
Yeah. Before we move on, because I'm going to milk this, Jagger, I have Ladd McConkey behind T. Higgins and Drake London in my rankings. Would you take Ladd in front of those two?
Yes.
Interesting. Why?
Maybe London. It's just, did you know that Ladd McConkey and Garrett Wilson almost have identical profiles? It's only maybe 5 pounds difference. So if I told you that Garrett Wilson had Justin Herbert and wasn't a Jet, what would that do for you?
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And I think I have Wilson below Ladd, but it's I think the only thing that puts Higgins above him for me is what we've talked about the last couple of weeks. That, but they're going to have to score 50 points a game. They don't have a defense anymore. And I think Higgins is going to get a lot of work. And I think if you told me that Ladd is going to get out of this draft without the Chargers taking someone in the first 2 days, then I would probably be on your side. But I think I need to see that first. And that's what scares me a little bit. Rocky, what do you think? London, Higgins, Ladd, rank them for yourself.
I would go, I think I'm with you in that I would put Ladd third. Just be, like you said, I'm nervous if they bring somebody else in. He did, I mean, obviously produced there last year, but we know Harbaugh likes to run the ball. And if they bring another receiver into that can compete with them, that is a good profile, high profile receiver. I just worry that the volume won't be there as much. And like you said, T is going to, at least for the next year anyway, T is going to have volume.
Yes.
Even with Jamar, he's going to have volume. And London, I've come around on from when he was drafted. I did not like London a ton coming out. Mm-hmm. I am still worried about their whole situation there, the quarterback situation.
Yep.
But
you said it.
Yeah, that's – I could be convinced to put Ladd over Drake London just because of that, because Herbert is considerably better than whatever Atlanta's going to put out there this year. So, but yeah, it's closer. I would put T, like I said, and it's maybe a little short-sighted because T's certainly quite a handful of years older at this point, but he's still not old yet. So, yeah, I would put T first. You know, this is a trade addicts. This is a memory of Russ. We have to put T first. But Jagger, you were going to say something. I just kept talking.
I know that. No, it was beautiful. I know that T is underrated and hated mainly because of injury. It's not because of play on the field. Because like I tell everyone, like, well, why do we still like T? I was like, because he has Joe Burrow. Name one defensive player while you're trying to think of that. I'll just go ahead and tell you that T. Higgins was like wide receiver 2 in points per game, only behind Jamar Chase there for a little bit. Yeah. So like, and then we'll come back. Did you name a defensive player? you know, Trey Henderson may not
even. Who they don't even have yet. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's not real yet. So.
Yeah. Real quick. I have JSN behind Ladd. Would you rather have Ladd or JSN?
Ladd.
Yeah, I think so too.
The Seahawks are weird, man.
I know.
They're a weird team.
Rocky doesn't like Darnold, so he's going to say Ladd too.
I like JSN better as a player, but because of the situation, I have to say it's super close for me though, just because I think JSN is, you know, which is not some bold take, but JSN just better, I think, better profile coming out and is a really talented player and showed that last year, but Sam Darnold and nothing else to distract for everyone from just keying on JSN at this point, basically, and a bad offensive line does not add up to a lot of great stuff.
Yes, agreed.
Well, like, you got Cooper Kupp, who's...
Yeah, we're not very pro Cooper Kupp at this point on this podcast.
It was really cool when he was a Ram.
Yeah, exactly. The best thing you can say.
My answer to this question, Rocky's going to groan. My answer is Kenneth Walker, and he's my RB12 in Dynasty, ahead of guys like Derrick Henry, ahead of guys like Christian McCaffrey. And the reason for that is I still believe in this player. And what if I told you that the guy who everyone said can't catch the ball had 46 catches last year? And he can continue to do that in an offense where Darnold's going to be really scared to throw the ball anywhere past 5 yards. And that is the offense that I'm going to sell you, is that they're going to be a fairly run heavy offense with Ken Walker, and he's going to have 50 catches, and that's a top 12 running back to me, and he's not being valued as such. So Jagger, why am I wrong?
I don't have zero arguments. It's funny. I was just like, ooh, yes, buddy,
finally.
I'm in a startup right now, and I'm like, poops and gigs, we added rookies already in there, and mm-hmm. I'm like, I missed Trevion Henderson, I missed Amari Hampton, and I'm like, but little do you know that Kenneth Walker is still there, and I'm gonna be perfectly happy with Kenneth Walker and Chuba Hubbard as my RB1 and RB2. And you guys can have the rookies, who I think are very good players. Yes. I'm not disparaging them, but a lot of people, because of the rookies, are sleeping on guys who are already on good teams and aren't old. So I'm with you, dog. I'm with you.
Okay, Rocky, why am I wrong? Because it's the Seahawks.
Bad offensive line, bad quarterback. I want to say another talent running back with them, but they always play Walker very heavily over Charbonnet when they're healthy. So I'm not going to factor that in. Bad offense. I think for the foreseeable future, in my opinion, I just do not like what the Seahawks are doing now at all.
Yeah.
Clint Kubiak doesn't do anything for you.
Sam Darnold doesn't do anything for me. That's the problem. And like I said, and their line isn't that good. But I just think when the quarterback is, and I think Sam Darnold very much turns back into a pumpkin this year. So I don't think he's going to be Jet Sam Darnold, but I don't think he's going to be all that close to Vikings for the first 15 weeks Sam Darnold either. So I feel like the offense is bad. It's going to be hard for the running back to be good.
Yeah. Herms in the chat says, Herms in the chat said the Seahawks should draft Xavier Restrepo and go full power slot across the whole field. I'm down for that. Restrepo had a fun little pro day. We didn't talk about him last week because we were too busy talking about Ward's back foot throw or whatever that Hutch said not to believe. So, but Restrepo had a fun little pro day himself. So it'll be interesting. Restrepo was pretty good in college. In his last year, he was more than pretty good. So will be interesting.
He was a top 10 receiver for me. And I know, like, he's one of my favorites. So I was like, I know he's going to be a day three guy, but he's going to be a day three guy on all of my dynasty rosters. So.
Yeah, for sure. Rocky, do you have anyone
that you were going to ask? I was hoping you'd forget, because I feel like I don't have that guy that I'm like on an island.
Okay, on to the news then.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, the closest, but he's already ranked super high, so I don't feel like this really fits the question. But
it's a Brock Bowers.
I am the biggest Nico stan in the world. So Nico Collins. So
yeah,
I don't know how much higher. Like, I was looking at the ADPs of guys, and he's like wide receiver 8. So I don't even know how much higher than that I can put him. I feel like Nico is a guy I would overpay for. And now that I said that, more than most people would. And I feel like now that I said that, I'm going to get 11 offers and I'll probably
Justin Jefferson for Nico,
6 or 7 and all the trade addicts, because I don't have him, and they're all going to be horrible trade offers.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the life. That's my Ladd McConkey one. Someone offered me here's Ladd McConkey. Give me every first sleeper will allow you to sit. Yeah, right. That's not what I said, guys.
Yeah.
All right, we can get into the news. And like I said, I kind of fudged some of it, but it's been owners meetings and all that this year, I think, or this week, I'm sorry, the most important thing kind of coming out of it was not fantasy related, but some cool stuff coming out, right? The cameras are going to be used for first downs, which is kind of a cool little feature that we've been waiting like 30 years for that to happen. Yeah. And Rocky's beloved Tush Push is being tabled because they split it. They didn't have a vote in any direction. So I don't even know what that means.
So it's probably going to be fine. There's probably no another year. Outlawed. It's going to be at least another year, and they should never outlaw it.
Yeah.
And if they do, all they can do, I think, is outlaw the push. And I've said it a million times. The push isn't really what usually gets the yards.
Correct.
It turns like 1.5 into 3 sometimes.
But correct. That,
they always would get those first downs anyway.
I do love the coaches who have come out and been like, just stop it. If you can't, you can't. Like, there's been like 3 or 4 coaches that have done that this week. So, and Sirianni hasn't been any of them, by the way. I know he said a couple of things, but most of the coaches actually speaking out against ruling it out is not Sirianni. So we'll just have to see. The other thing that we can finally like be done with is the one possession overtime is gone. They fixed that finally, that both teams get a possession. So we finally have not this like Burrow doesn't get the ball back in overtime, which is good for everything. And for any of those point per return yard leagues like TA, the touchback is the 35. If they're going to come hell or high water, they're going to have someone return the damn ball on a kickoff at some point. They're going to put it at the 50 at some point if they don't do this soon. So
I don't get the reasoning for that. They were like, we're not getting enough returns, so we're going to do this. And then, so now there's too many, so they're making touchback 30. I don't know what they're doing. I feel like they're finding problems where there's not. They're like that retired dad that's just like, I got to fix the whole house, even though I have zero knowledge. It's like,
Or the retired dad who's like on Twitter too much and reading politics and like, let's fix the country.
Yeah, there you go. That's the one.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's get into the fantasy stuff. Let's break down the Browns. There was a lot of Browns over the last 24 hours. So Jimmy Haslam, for the first time, basically, that I can recall, basically said the Watson trade was a mistake and something they're recovering from. And on that same, and that they don't have a QB basically. They're like, we need to have one at the end of this, before offseason starts. On the same topic, Raheem Morris had his press conference today, which, by the way, just very quick side note, that's like the most football guy thing ever, is like all the guys sitting at the little cafeteria table, like interviewing the coaches, and they're not like at a podium. They're just like sitting at a table. It's like the funniest thing ever for me for some reason. Raheem Morris said the Falcons would look at trades for Kirk Cousins if offered, and they expect him to miss the offseason program for whatever reason. He's upset. And then Diana Rossini basically said she would not be shocked to see Cousins in Cleveland. So let's break all this down. Jagger, you have been reviewing the rookies. Obviously, you have watched Cousins just like the rest of us. What do you want in Cleveland at quarterback? Who do you want? Do you want Cousins? Do you want Shador?
I'd want Shador Sanders. If I am the GM, I'm going to get Shador. You have Jerry Jeudy. I'm going to do what I can at the top of the second. I don't know what if they still have that pick or not. Hopefully they do. They're really dumb, so I don't expect them to have that. I would try to get someone like Elik Ayomanor and really try to improve that offense and get something going right away. That way you have Jerry Jeudy and Njoku and then another wide receiver. That's what I'd want. It makes sense that they'd want Kirk Cousins because that's a bad decision. It's like, cool, do you want to trade for an overpaid backup? That's the most Cleveland thing I've ever heard. It's like, I wonder if Diane Rossini was even being like kind of truthfully sarcastic. She's like, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Browns want Kirk Cousins because it's probably the worst quarterback that they could trade for to start right now that isn't like Carson Wentz, who I've heard they have interest in. So it's just, you know.
She is like the queen of dysfunction, right? Because she got everything about the Jets right thus far, even though the Jets fans will say she got it wrong the whole time. So she is the queen of dysfunction.
She got a nose for it. She's yeah, like, she knows sus over here.
She knows how to find it. Yeah, exactly. Rocky, what do you want, Mr. Veteran Quarterback?
I think they should actually get someone like Carson Wentz and just tank this entire year.
They're going to have some competition for that.
I don't like Sanders, and I don't like if you pick him, then you got to invest a couple of years in him at least, most likely. I would just get somebody else. What are they? Two or three? I can't remember.
Oh, they're two.
Two. Johnson, yeah, three. I would take someone else at the second pick. You know, Hunter or whoever. Whoever you think is the best available player. I don't think that's Shedeur Sanders. So, and then, like I said, just build around the quarterback position and just put some body in there this year. That's what I agree. Kirk Cousins is horrible because he's a whole bunch of money and I don't see the point. And he might actually win you a couple games by accident or something.
Yeah, his two good games, you're like, that's why you go get a veteran quarterback like Kirk Cousins.
And then he plays on primetime.
Yeah, and then, exactly. He goes on Thursday Night Football, and it's four picks and 30 yards or something like that.
Question, do you think Watson, we ever see him starting again?
No.
I don't think so either. That's why I was just curious what you guys thought.
For the Jets, maybe.
I think he's going to retire to Thailand. Or something.
Yeah, I think he is too.
He seems like the dude who's going to go to Thailand and retire.
Yeah.
And I'll just let you guys think whatever you want with that. So.
Yeah. The other name thrown around by Rossini and a few others was Will Levis being talked about in trades. And NFL GMs, look at me. I dare you. I dare you to go get him and see what happens. Like, it's not going to be better. You're not going to fix him. He's the same quarterback. He had Liam Cohen as his offensive coordinator in college.
He's white Jameis Winston.
He is.
It's just,
no, he's worse. So, no. I take that back. He's worse.
He's worse. I guess I mean he's just so entertaining, but you know they're not going to win a single game. He's going to do something flashy that looks good.
So, and Frank, he's not a top 12 dynasty quarterback?
Yeah. That wasn't my best take.
That was a bold prediction by Frank.
Yeah, that wasn't my best take ever.
I'm not going to lie. I bought into him last offseason too. And then – it didn't happen.
So. Yeah. Jameis at least won a Heisman in a national championship. I think Will Levis's best season in college was 9 wins. So we'll just have to see on that. Moving on to the 49ers, we passed Brandon Ayuk's deadline that they were throwing out there for Tuesday, where I think it was like certain money kicked in. But he's staying, it seems like. And then John Lynch said they weren't optimistic about Purdy having his extension by offseason program, which is a little weird because they're like, we're going to get this done right here, right now. We know what he's worth, this, that, and the other. And they're like, we're still negotiating. And apparently the deal for Purdy is he's going to join the $50 million club, which is like 10 quarterbacks at this point. So Jagger, Let's break down the 49ers this way. Who is your favorite 49ers wide receiver? It can be at cost or it can be overall. And then what are you doing with Purdy?
Ricky Pearsall with Purdy. Yeah. He's fine. He's got a good coach that loves him. And there's a lot of good weapons. Will he take a back seat? And does he rush? No. But, Greg, I don't know. I mean this statistically. And, like, at the end of the day, you have Jared Goff.
Yeah.
That's what you got, and that's fine. Like,
yeah.
You want to pair him with someone with high upside, I would say, if you're in super flex, but yeah, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with Jagger. Rocky. That's basically how I feel about Brock Purdy. he's fine, and I am worried about this contract, though, because I think I kind of said it earlier, is I think the support system around him, having Shanahan will help no matter who they have. And maybe he can develop a Pearsall or anyone else that they bring in. But I feel it's just going to be harder and harder to have the weapons around him if he's making $55 million a year. But also the cap is growing every year. So in 3 years, it'll probably be $400 million anyway. Right.
And it seems like they need to just trade Ayuk at some point and just kind of rebuild, like have Pearsall and Juwan Jennings. Maybe you can draft someone else, like Jalen Noel in the second or third if you want someone.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, just trade Ayuk to someone who needs him, like the Patriots or something like that. And exactly. Yeah, so.
Rocky, I asked this kind of half kidding. Are you buying Mac Jones if you think all quarterbacks are the same in San Francisco? Because he's cheap and he's going to be around.
Not that much, no. I have no interest in Mac Jones whatsoever. Okay. I don't think all quarterbacks are
the same. No, I know. That was half.
Yeah, it's helped Purdy, though. Yeah. I think if he was a Jet, we would not even know who Brett Purdy
is. Agreed with that, 100%. And then Herms asks, curious on what you guys think, but I'm kind of nervous about how Purdy's deal might set the mid-level market. And for me, as crazy as it is, Purdy's not mid-level. I mean, the guy's played in a Super Bowl. I understand it was part of the 49ers that are a machine, and he was kind of the trailer behind the truck. Yeah, the trailer behind the truck, as some would call it. And I just don't think he's mid-level. And I like the Dak contract is an anomaly. And look no further on how Jerry Jones has handled the Micah Parsons stuff today, on how that franchise is going. For those who don't know what I'm talking about. Negotiated with Micah Parsons without his agent there for 6 hours. And then when asked about it, he's like, the agent doesn't matter. I don't even know his name. And Micah Parsons got all mad and said, like, call my agent. Don't talk to me without him again. So it's not going great. I know. And it's just, and he's just, Jerry, shut up. Seriously, please.
The Cowboys aren't even fun to hate anymore.
Like, I know. It's just mad.
Yeah, at this point, I want them to be competitive so I can, like, hate a real team. You know? Yeah. Like,
that's crazy.
They're like AFC Richmond in relegation right now, and they're and they're not ran by Ted Lasso. They're ran by, like, the evil...
Nate, Nate or whatever his name was.
Yeah, Nate, or I was going to say evil Ronald McDonald. Like, not even, like, anyone who's smart.
right. It's just, it's crazy, and I don't... Like, apparently they offered him the highest non-QB contract. Like, they beat Myles Garrett. And he's like, but why is my agent not here? And Jerry's like, that doesn't matter. It's just, it's a nightmare in Dallas. And like I said, to circle back to the point, the Dak contract is an anomaly. I don't see Purdy as kind of like mid-level. He's going to be kind of a top 12 quarterback every year because he plays for San Francisco and he knows the system. So I'm not worried about him breaking like Jared Goff's not going to make $60 million because of Brock Purdy making 50. I just don't see that happening, but I could be wrong. And then the last bit of news is John Harbaugh said he expects Mark Andrews to be on the Ravens next year. That was kind of some whispers around that. Andrews might be traded. He might not. We don't know he might be cut, this, that, and the other. Are we happy about this? are we meh about this?
I think everyone forgets that Mark Andrews got like in a terrible car wreck.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of things happened in the off season, and tight ends tend to age a lot better than most players. So like, this is great probably from, you know, and he had a really bad game that is going to live with a lot of people, but you know, it happens sometimes. Mm. And for fantasy, I'm willing to bet on Mark Andrews. If people out there are still drafting Kyle Pitts, you could draft Mark Andrews. You know, just
I mean, he had that horrible first month last year for like September was pretty rough. And then he was pretty much Mark Andrews. So
Remember when everyone said likely was like the tight end one in Baltimore for like 2 weeks or something like that.
Yeah.
Like Andrews is gone. It's likely's team now.
Yeah. And as Jagger said, tight ends, they usually, the higher end tight ends usually play well under the 30s and they usually play well. So, and I can't think of a better spot for Mark Andrews. I mean, we've seen it time and time again. So he's Lamar's guy too. So, I think this is great.
Yep. All right. Well, let's, I normally have the guests aside, but the way the show sheet's kind of laid out, I'm going to kind of drive this because I know Rocky has a couple of rookie questions and I'm going to get into that too. We're going to pick Jagger's some rookie stuff, but first let's do Tyler's question at Tyler FF Creator. What are your thoughts on third and fourth round picks, Jagger? I think everyone's kind of split on this. I think Hutchinson Brown, who we had on last week, is like, you know, throw him away, upgrade. Like, what do you think?
I mean, that's upgrade them. Yes, that is something. Yeah. Like, if you just if you just suck at drafting, throw them away. Get go get players that you know are good. Go do that.
Yeah.
But I think it's a year to year thing, because like I asked on Twitter, you know, are you asking me just overall in general or year in or year out?
Mm-hmm.
This year, tight end and running back is so deep that like I am taking those shots. You know, people are so behind on a tight end like Mason Taylor, who would be, excuse me, the tight end one in a lot of classes. And I'm not joking. Like he'd be an excellent player. And if you're doing early drafts, you can get him. Maybe when the rookie, these rookies actually get on teams, it'll be different, but you have opportunities for him, Terrence Ferguson. And again, Woody Marks, like one of these hyper productive players with solid profiles that can get on landing spots. I would try to keep them, or in fact, I would try to tack them on in trades. But at the same time, if you can upgrade and consolidate, do that. This is like when me and Jeff, we used to say it's Schrodinger's value on there. Like they're both trades and buys. You should try to acquire these things, but if you can't upgrade, you should do that. And I know like that feels like a cop-out answer, but once you play a lot of Dynasty, that's how it is. You know, like you need to treat these picks like currency, you know, and not so much like the, not so much like a monolith of something that you need to have an action to do just because they're a pick. It's, you know, I know some people is like, if I have a third and fourth round, I'm trading them right away. And I'm like, for what? And like, do you have a method, or are you just doing that willy nilly? So that is my long winded answer.
If you open the box, you kill the tight end value.
Exactly. As soon as you drafted him, he's dead.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm generally pretty free to send away thirds and fourths, but I think Jagger made a really good point about being year to year, because
yes,
that is how I like to draft, actually. Is like after the second round, third and fourth round picks, I'm almost always drafting running backs and tight ends anyway. Like I am not that like later round tight ends and running backs hit crazy, but I just have generally very little interest in day three wide receivers, and that's generally what you're getting in the third and fourth round. And everyone has one of these day three receivers, these that everybody falls in love with. And I should say everybody has their own person they fall in love with, and they always draft that guy. Yeah. And I those guys rarely work out. But it's not like I said, it's not like the running backs work out, but I like having those backup running backs on my roster. That's usually what you're getting in the third and fourth. And occasionally you get lucky and you hit a Bucky Irving, which I had a lot of last year, and he was going mostly in the third. But even not taking that out of the equation, just having like all the different, like, you know, the guys who eventually are going to get starts at some point, like the Blake Corum, or just the backup running backs on other rosters that are going to get starts because of injury or because the guy ages out and he's still hanging around on the roster and they don't have anything else. I just would rather take the chance on that than some wide receiver that is rarely ever going to, like the Pukas and the Amon-Ra's are few and far between. So I think you're better off just trying to take the small, you know, little boost. Like if that third round rookie running back, not third round NFL, third round in your rookie draft running back gets the start for a month, maybe you can flip him for a second for somebody in a playoff run. And then you've upgraded that pick. So I just wanted to say, and that's why I always like, and tight ends, you know, they always take a while to develop. And I love just mining for tight ends, you know, athletic tight ends in the third and fourth round. And a lot of times they don't pan out either, but if they do, it usually works out real nicely.
Yeah. And the thing is that, it's not that you're drafting some of these running backs. You're like, I got Damian Pierce because like, yeah, man, you got Damian Pierce, go profit. That's what you're doing.
Yeah. That's
a lot of times, sometimes you're going to get Bucky Irving, you know, sometimes you're going to get Kyron Williams, but a lot of times they might be a Damian Pierce, Michael Carter, they name these guys that just get thrust in the situation. And then you can trade them for value or for a player that actually has real stability or something like that. But if you're going to get a wide receiver, then you're like, well, I just got, let's say like, I really liked Michael Wilson, But like, Michael Wilson is, I wouldn't say a roster clogger, but you never feel good putting in Michael Wilson. Most of the time, if you roster Michael Wilson, it's dynasty and you just need a bye week plug in and your flex or something like that. And it's not something that is actually going to be a difference maker on your roster with wide receiver. So, and like you said, with tight end, I always get excited. I'm like, I can't wait to see if you live or die on my taxi squad.
let's dig into that a little further real quick, because you guys talked about how there's kind of Damian Pierce's and there's Bucky Irving's. How do you know when you have one or the other, right? Because I in the past have traded Puka Nacua for a 24 first or a 23 first. I don't remember what year that was, 24 probably. And because I didn't buy that he was going to be the number one forever. So how do you know, like, just that was just an example. Like, how do you know when you have a Bucky, someone you're going to hold on to for a long time, versus a Pierce where you're like, I'm going to ride this till he's worth a second and then get out? Like, what is the difference look like to you? Maybe Jagger can start as someone who evaluates these players.
That's what it starts with, is like, I go with my pre-draft evaluation. Puka Nacua, I'm like, this kid's pretty good. And do you know why I traded Puka? It's because I got talked into the data nerds, the same nerds who talked me into trading Amon-Ra St. Brown. You know, like, from now on, if you're an elite target earner, I don't care when you're drafted. You could be, look, guys, Julian Edelman, Wes Walker, these guys were drafted in, like, they weren't even drafted as wide receivers. If you are earning targets, it doesn't matter. The NFL wants you. They're not going to throw you away in most cases. If it's manufactured or fluky, you know, like a bunch of screens and slants, then maybe that's different. And with running backs, did I like them ahead of time? If I liked them ahead of time, I'm like, oh, wow, the NFL figured it out. He had a bad combine. That happens. You know, some people train for that, you know. So a lot of guys that suck do well. And then I go back to, like, if they suck and it took two dudes to die for them to get put up there, then I'm like, yeah, then this doesn't seem good. Like James Robinson, there was just no one on the Jaguars and he kind of popped out and everyone's like, he runs so hard. That's the key one. Everyone's like, he runs so hard. That's like, I tell everyone, Isaiah Pacheco, I'm like, he's just not a dynamic player or a difference maker. I think he's a good depth guy, but there is like, maybe a step between him and Craig Reynolds to be quite honest with them. So like, he's a replaceable talent. I will never roster Isaiah Pacheco for cost. Kyren Williams is a weird outlier. I'll never figure out. It doesn't make sense. It'll never will. And I'm just going to look like a douche for that. So that's kind of my evaluation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say it's hard to figure that out in the moment ahead of time. I will say, especially the two guys that have been mentioned, Kyren Williams, he was somebody that a lot of film people did like prior to the draft, and then he had a bad combine, and then that's what sunk his value. And so I think that's something, like, if you are a film watcher and you like, if you did like him before, like, I think the NFL sometimes weighs it too heavily too, and we as a fantasy community sometimes weigh the combine too heavily. And Bucky, I just thought, you know, me and Russ liked him a lot prior to even being drafted, and it was a lot of it was the profile. Like, if I remember correctly, I think he caught like 85 balls his last year of college. Like, that's the kind of guy I want to draft in the later rounds. He could have a long career just catching balls out of the bat, even if he wasn't as good of a runner as he is. Once Bucky started hitting, I was already bought. I was bought in when he got drafted, but once he started hitting, he was more somebody I wanted to try and hold for a little bit. Maybe trade him in a year or something. Hopefully he does it again this year and then get out or something. But even then, I mean, I could see him hanging on for a good long time, having some fantasy value because of his pass catching ability.
I'm never getting out. Bucky Irving forever.
Yeah, I don't think I am either, but.
And that's like someone like Woody Marks is, I'm going to, cause like you're a name here. Like, no one's caught more passes in college out of this class than Woody Marks. And he had a good rushing profile, but he has like an average, like 6.55 relative athletic score, which is average. It's all yellow, you know, but people think that's like bad, but I'm like, man, I'm going to take shots on that because the NFL likes the likes pass catchers. You know what scores points for us in PPR? Catching passes. So, mm-hmm. you know, like make those bets.
Yeah. The Herms actually said two things in the chat. He said, first off, spreadsheets don't pass the eye test, which is just philosophical and excellent, and everyone should stick with that. And then he has a question for you, Jagger. He asked, do you like Breshad Smith?
Yes. Breshad Smith, like I was going to say, like Breshad Smith is someone I'm going to take shots on, like Quinn Allen, Woody Marks, because like when you get to like the fourth round, you get the plotters, like people are going to talk about like Taj Brooks or what's his name from Clemson? Is it another Taj? I'm not sure.
No, it's yes, I forget his name.
Phil Maffa.
Yes, that's it.
Look, someone like that, I don't want to take shots on them. I'm going to take shots on the Breshad Smith because at the end of the day, both of those guys might have the same amount of opportunity. Breshad Smith can do a lot more with one carry than Phil Maffa can. So
I had so much faith in Phil Maffa when he went into the season at Clemson, and man, did he disappoint me.
He looked super average.
Yeah, he really did. Just like basically every Clemson running back since ETN. Yeah.
Yep.
So if Rocky has rookie questions, he can throw them in, but
I just have one question that, cause we were talking before the show and I said, I'm behind as I am almost every year, the last couple of years now, in terms of my rookie stuff. So I was going to ask, and you know, we know a lot of the big names. Give me a guy, Jagger, that you know, you're a guy, maybe like we were talking about earlier, that you at least pre-draft, you see is like a second round rookie, not NFL draft rookie pick, like second round, third round, fourth round, like get deeper as you go with each name.
You're not allowed to say Woody Marks again.
I won't say Woody Marks. I'm gonna hit again. Mason Taylor, get him early and often when you can right now. Like as soon as you can get Mason Taylor, Terrence Ferguson is another one. Get him early and often. He's productive and he's athletic. Those are the two, whatever spreadsheet nerd is out there, they're going to tell you that. And whatever film nerd is out there will tell you that, yeah, man, he caught a lot of balls and he's really athletic. It almost always shows up on tape. But Ty Felton is a second and third round guy. Right now on Fast Draft, we have our Origins Draft, which is like a 10-team rookie draft. So it's a good way to look at like live ADP all the time. I'm getting Ty Felton like the fourth round. He had like a 9.5 relative athletic score, was one of the top Big Ten receivers, and again, has a profile for an X. Like, I don't know why more people aren't talking about it. And even Daniel Jeremiah and some of these other big name scouts have said he's like, he's a day two guy. And I know you don't like a lot of day two wide receivers, and hopefully he's not a day three guy, but he's someone that I think a lot of teams that, like, let's say, the Pats or the Browns or something that might take another position and still need a wide receiver or something like that. He's someone I think they'd look at, and I'd take him often. And then I'll give you another position. I'll give you another running back since I said Woody Marks. LaQuint Allen is another one. He's skinny, had a very, very average combine, but he is one of these few, I would say, tweeners that look just as good running the ball, even though he runs a little high, and then he looked like an elite receiver. So if someone like, let's say Sean Payton goes bruiser with Amari and Hampton, then wants to yang it and gets a LaQuint Allen, I think he's got his backfield like he used to have, where we got someone who can catch 40 passes.
And for those who see that LaQuint Allen played for Syracuse, this is not the same Syracuse you guys know and love. This is a now 10-win, 9-win Syracuse team. They're building something fun. Mm-hmm.
He was the engine of that offense.
Yes, he was. He made Kyle McCord look very good, and he's the reason that people like Kyle McCord again. So, he's not. And I'm not buying the whole. I've seen him and Tyler Shough be like talked about. Is it? I never know how to say his last name. Is it Shough or Shough?
It's Shug, because I was saying, okay, Shaw too, like, and everyone's like, it's Shug. Yeah. Like, well, I missed that one.
You can hear seven different pronunciations of this dude's last name. Yeah. It's spelled Shough. God bless you if you know how to say it. Mm-hmm. I've seen, like, people are like, someone's going to trade up into the back end of the first and take Tyler Shough. No, they're not. If they do, they're crazy. Don't do that. So I agree with LaQuinn Allen. I think he was very good. I didn't know anything about the Maryland wide receiver that you were saying, Felton. Mm-hmm. So that's good info on that one. For those who don't know anything about Felton, 6'2", 181, 96 catches for 1,124 yards and 9 touchdowns at the University of Maryland. Mm-hmm. And of course, Herm says, always bet on ball knowers from Maryland. Amen to that. Jagger, who's your kind? You kind of named some kind of back end guys, but who's your kind of favorite day two NFL draft guy? Is it Caleb Johnson? Is it maybe Bashaal Tuten is a name that's been thrown around like crazy lately.
And I know. I need the NFL to tell me that one. Like, I'm taking third round shots on him, but people are like he's going to be a day two pick. I don't believe that. I'm treating him as any other running back that could be something in a third or fourth round, which is like, cool. I hope you go be all you could be, Bashaal Tuten. That's where I'm at. He's like, I know that's like the boring answer, but it's these wide receivers that are at the cusp, because like if they get drafted early day two, like top of the second round or maybe in the first, it really changes the depth that we have in our rookie drafts. Like I'm talking about Elik Ayomanor. I'm wondering where he's going to go, you know, because he's someone I think that, and I keep saying this, it's like it's Drake May needs a wide receiver, like, but he's got Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs is a high-end wide receiver too now, guys. He's great. He's better than what the Pats have had, but they still need someone else. I'd really want to bump him up. And then it's Quinshon Judkins, because like I think he's going to win the lottery. Some team might overdraft a running back, and we got running backs that are going to go on bad teams. Someone's going to wait on Quinshon Judkins. The Raiders are kind of a crap team. Let's give them a better spot. I think the Browns, because they know what to do with the running back. Like, let's say the Browns get Quinshon Judkins. Yeah. We got Nick Chubb all over again, something like that.
Steelers is another Steelers team I've seen turn around for him. Yep. Okay, so we have some people pushing back in the chat, which I like, Jagger. So Tony Perez, who's been on the show once or twice, he said he's heard a lot of analysts bring up Felton's breakout age as a bugaboo. So your thoughts on that?
Don't care.
Yeah, fair enough. And then Herms said, shout out Oronde Gadsden the second.
I worry about him. I understand why everyone likes him, man. He's a tweener. And in the bad way, it's like Harold Fannin. I was the biggest fan of him.
Oh, that's my next question.
I know he had problems. Like Harold Fannin is someone I'm going to take shots at. I was drafting Harold Fannin like top of the second. Now he's I get him when I'm going to get him. If I was worried about him, I am super worried about Oronde Gadsden. And a lot of it is it's the Mike Gesicki problem. You have someone who's a very talented wide receiver, but he is not a better slot receiver than an actual slot receiver. But he's not a great blocker, so the NFL doesn't have the positional advantage of a tight end that they normally have. So it's like, cool, I got a guy that's not a great blocker, and I got a guy that isn't great as if I put Rashee Rice in the slot. What am I going to do now? And so we have someone who's always fighting for snaps, and we're hoping for that breakout game or that random pop game like Mike Gesicki's finally had since he's been with the Bengals.
Yeah. And then the last player I was going to ask about is one that people are very volatile on, is Elijah Arroyo. We saw him come in at the combine 6'5", 250. He can move like a wide receiver, though. So what do you think about him and his kind of athletic freakism?
Man, with the exception of Xavier Restrepo, I was just like the biggest Miami hater all year. I had to go to like a come to Jesus thing because Elijah Arroyo's tested better. Jordan Vanek is one guy that I respect his analysis, especially with prospects over most people. That dude knows spreadsheets and film. So, and he told me he liked him. So that's, and then Daniel Jeremiah told me he liked him. So like, that's when you go back and reevaluate yourself. So again, he's another, this is why this all comes full circle. Here's why I said third round and fourth round picks matter. Cause Elijah Arroyo could be someone. We know what the tight end market's now. Dalton Schultz is like like a top target on a team, like a top three target. He's replaceable talent right now. Who is Jake Ferguson? No one cares. It's just, like, that's replaceable. Like, take some of these guys here because this is a generational tight end class.
Yep. And so no Damian Martinez for you, huh?
I actually like Damian Martinez. And I looked at Ty Felton's age. He's 22 years old, and you guys are like busting my balls on here. It's like I had people talking to me about Nick Nash. Nick Nash is like a grandfather.
He's 37 somehow.
Yeah. He's, like in football years, he's Uncle Drew. Yeah. You know, 22 is fine on breakout age. I'm gonna chill out.
I like it.
Sorry.
And then Herm said he saw Arroyo in Mobile, and he said that dude passed the dog test, which is the most important test.
Yes, so. I've heard the dog test. He's done well. Flying colors, 9.6 out of 10.
So we can move on to the Trade Addicts trades. That was some good rookie talk. I liked that. We're gonna do more of that. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to TA trades, TradeX leagues, 12-team Superflex, PPR, tight end premium, 1.75 per tight end reception, and 0.05 per return yard in all leagues except TA1, and we don't have any TA1 trades this week. So the first trade is in TA7. We have Stephon Diggs for Jalen Wright and a 2027 third. Jagger, what do you think?
Jalen Wright.
Jalen Wright.
Yeah. Sucks, man.
Oh, wow. That's
a terrible play. I don't think he's good at all, man. Stephon Diggs, I
Tell
think
he could trade. Really
yeah, right.
Stephon Diggs, he's a Stevie Wonder, man. This is what I call running backs who look really good and they perform well in college, but they just can't see, man, and that doesn't work in the NFL. Like Tennessee's got a dookie at sorry, I almost cursed a dookie offense that like
you can curse, just no f-bombs.
Okay, well it's a floodgate. I gotta go all the way. They got like a funky offense, so I don't trust it. Like Stephon Diggs, you could probably trade for a second in season if he comes back healthy. So
Do you like Dylan Sampson?
Is this your trade?
Or you?
Was this your trade?
Frank? No.
Okay,
no.
Thank God. No, sorry, I'd have been to come at you like
No. No, you're just the first one that's dropped like the Jalen Wright sucks. Like it's one of those where it's like, I like him or I'm not sure yet. I haven't heard like, I don't like this dude yet. Mm. So that was a good one. Do you like Dylan Sampson?
No, I think
same offense.
I think he's better than Wright, but I think he sucks.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think in Football Guys Rookie Guide, I was like, he's everything Kyren Williams is. So like, just do what you want with that. Like Kyren Williams is good because he's with McVay. So if Sampson goes to the Rams, cool, that's something.
Yeah, he'll probably be better than Kyren if he was on the Rams.
I do think he'd be better than Kyren Williams if he was on the Rams. I'll give him that.
Corum's probably better than both of them though. Mm-hmm. Rocky, what do you think?
I'm with Jagger. I don't hate Jalen Wright quite as much as he does, but I'm not super excited about him either. So
you're also an Achan guy.
Yeah, I definitely am an Achan guy. So it probably makes me like Wright a little less. But I'm worried about Diggs this year. We've talked about that before, just coming off the injury and all that. But to me, this is a perfectly acceptable price to hope you're getting wide receiver two production on a contending 100%. Team. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I would also take the dig side just for the upside. Moving on to TA8, we have picks for players. So it's the 108, the 210, and the 212 for Derrick Henry and everyone's favorite tight end, Kyle Pitts. Jagger, picks or players?
In a vacuum, picks, but I get both sides.
I'm
not going to lie, man. You traded... If you bought Derrick Henry, you're hoping for you're going to ride him into the sunset, you know, with like a big season, and you're really counting on that. But for the picks, I'm like, cool, you can draft a Derrick Henry replacement and two tight ends that might be better than Kyle Pitts with the 210 and 212.
I was just going to say that. Is there probably two tight ends that you can get Elijah Arroyo and Harold Fannin and probably be just as happy?
Yeah, the same stats at the end of the day, probably. Yeah.
Yes, agreed. Rocky, what do you think?
I would rather have the players, I think. And I I still can't fully quit Kyle Pitts the way it sounds like you two have. So
I haven't quit him.
I'm not just, me neither. Yeah,
I haven't quit him. I'm just saying that he's not valuable.
Yeah. Now, I get it, but I feel like you're not paying a ton here to get Kyle Pitts. Mm-hmm. I like that add-on to the trade. And I mean, I would not necessarily want to give up Henry, like the 108 for Derrick Henry at this point, but I feel like some of that Pitts value is going into that 108, which is why I'm okay with this trade, because I think Pitts should be worth more than the 210 and 212, as much as we all hate him right now.
You're probably right.
I get it from both sides too. I think it's a perfectly fine return for those two players, especially with Pitts value is pretty much as low as it's ever been. So I get it from both sides. I'm sure the team that got the picks is not contending. So, but I'd want I'm perfectly fine paying that for those two. And I still believe in Kyle Pitts' upside, even if I'm crazy for thinking that.
I am actually very surprised by Rocky's answer, because I thought for sure he was going to be, I like the players more, but the picks are more valuable. Because that's kind of how Russ and Rocky have thought about in the past, is buying someone like Derrick Henry right now is very risky. But I do understand that giving up, you know, the 108 and a couple of late seconds for these players does make sense. I would probably take the picks just because I can flip them for something different later. But I do agree, if you're contending versus rebuilding, I do understand both sides.
Yeah.
So,
Like I said, I think this is a fair trade, and I get both sides. Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on to the last trade, and this is the biggest one of the day. We have, and stay with me, we have Caleb Williams, George Kittle, and the 203 for Justin Herbert, a 26 first, a 27 third, a 27 fourth, because again, that had to be there.
But oh, wait, there's more.
And $25 of fab. And Rocky, for the listeners, because I don't remember off the top of my head, how much fab does everyone get every year? It's like 150, right?
I think it's 200.
200.
But I could be wrong. I'm in too many leagues, so trying to remember, even though I'm in 11 TA leagues. But
so 12, basically 13% of fab on top of that. So,
wow. Golly, mister.
Yeah, exactly. So you can blow it on the one running back that has one good week. Jagger, what do you think?
I love some Herbert, but I'm going to take the Caleb Williams, George Kittle, 203 side. Caleb was a rookie, guys, and he had an offensive coordinator that's not a real person. So
he had two of them, three of them that weren't real people.
Exactly. So that's like, I'm going to make that bet again. I feel comfortable. George Kittle's very good still. Like George Kittle is someone that I'm like, all right, I'll draft you in a startup and ride you into the sunset. I don't care. Yeah. Ooh, don't like that. But either way, the 203, that's a running back. So everything else is Justin Herbert and hypotheticals and fab, which is not real in Dynasty.
So. I'm with Jagger again on this. The third, especially 27 thirds and fourths are imaginary as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And the fab doesn't matter at all. So it's Herbert in a 26 first for that other side. And I think that's perfectly fine value. I'm not a huge Caleb guy, but I'm not out on him yet either. So there's a lot of upside there. You're getting guaranteed points pretty much in Kittle. And the 203 is a nice little piece there too when you're throwing in a future first. So I think it's pretty easily that side for me over the Herbert in the first side.
Yep. I also would take the Caleb side, but I have two things to say on this. One, I have never seen an offensive coordinator get more broken by not being in a booth than Thomas Brown. That was the craziest thing ever. He had a good offense for 3 weeks and they pulled him out of the booth and he wasn't very good anymore. Second is a question, and we're going to ask for hypotheticals. Would you rather have a 27 third and 27 fourth, or $25 of fab? Which would you rather have?
The picks.
Yeah, I agree. The picks. Especially because I'm in too many leagues. I don't do waivers like 80% of the season anyway. So.
Yeah, right.
I was about to say, it's arguably a weakness, because I'm like, wow, that guy went for nothing on waivers. I'm like, I'm never going to get him. Like, yeah. Like, I don't even try to feel bad. I was like, I'm never going to try and get good at this.
Yeah. I'll like two different weeks in the season that I'll really bear down. Like, let me see what's on all these waivers in my 30 leagues. And then the other, like, 17 weeks, 16 weeks, I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah. That's why I suck at redraft. Like, if I don't get it right the first time, I'll never recover. Yeah. So I was like, I won't do waivers.
I really do. Deteriorated on the redraft stuff ever since I really got into Dynasty a few years ago. I've really deteriorated on redraft because I just can't follow it that closely. Mm-hmm. It's crazy though. And I just $25 a fab. Just, I love seeing that in a trade for some reason, but I'm not going to get over that. It's just make me smile.
This was
some
Russ trade, by the way.
Of course it was.
He got the side we picked. He gave up the fab. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good.
Good for you, Russ. He's like, go buy yourself something pretty. He's like, I left you some
don't
money.
Don't spend
on the
it all in one place.
I'm just picturing he's going to spend it on like the Colts backup running back that has like Tyler Goodson or whatever his name was, or Trey Sermon. Oh, on that note, that is the end of our show sheet. So that is good. Be at the end of our show. Jagger, thank you so much for joining us as always, and why don't you drop who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do one last time.
As always, Jag Says on Twitter. I run content over on the Fast Draft channel. We are 3 weeks old on that pod, so go over there. I could give you guys some match casts if you want to get in on like some easy best ball tournaments. I also write over at Roto Underworld. I've got a mock draft coming in whenever I turn it in and get it done. I don't really do deadlines, so other than that, guys, I'm out in the streets. My other side hustle, if you guys like TV and movies and nerdy stuff, me and Alfredo Brown have a podcast called Unbinged, so yeah,
love it. Our stuff, patreon.com/RateXPod. You can watch us while we record. You can see my beautiful hotel room in New York City. You can see Jagger's sweet background, which I'm going to say is like 80s wood paneling. And it's going, that's my description.
I also
of
have
it.
To say you're missing out on some great hair by not watching us live.
Yes.
Jagger actually, hair. Frank, yeah. You're wrong. It's 70s. It's even
70s wood paneling. There we go. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. We've been talking rookies and trades and everything in there. So it's always a fun time. And of course we have Fantasy Cares. We're kind of at the end of the March Madness campaign. They're going to do a Masters campaign, which is next week, by the way. Hello, friends. Everyone get excited. And so they're going to do that. Also, Trivia with Joey Wright on Mondays, which Jagger actually participated in last week, I think, for Office. Was that last week? Mm-hmm. All my weeks run together. Mm-hmm. There's the Dynasty Hootenanny with Zach Reed and J Mike, and then the Wednesday Hangout, as always, where you can see Russ and Zach and Scott and everyone else in between. And as Russ Fisher always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Frank.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLS family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.